So on September 18th, Peterborough Police Services Chief Stuart Betts held an information town hall session on the 2024 budget. The city of Peterborough is in the middle of the process to determine the budget for next year, and with the draft of the budget scheduled to be presented to the Finance Committee on November 6th, Chief Betts held this budget session to inform the public, but also ask for feedback. This was a 90-minute presentation of the current state of the Peterborough Police Services budget, but the overall purpose of this was to explain and justify the proposed increase of their budget. In the presentation, Chief Betts stated that in 2024, it would take an 11.7% increased budget to just keep the lights on. That to keep the services exactly as they are, this is the minimum. Anything lower would require a decrease or reduction in services. In 2023, the Peterborough Police Service budget was just over $29 million, making it nearly 10% of the city's cost for that year's budget. Yet in the city's 2024 budget survey, the 415 respondents were each asked to rank issues facing Peterborough right now from 13 options. The average answer placed housing at number one, social issues at number two, and public health at number three. Crime and criminal activity was ranked 11th of 13. Then, on October 5th, Chief Betts announced a change in the Peterborough Police Service's stance on drug use in public spaces. He identified that in the Peterborough Community Safety and Well-Being Plan, only 48% of respondents felt safe or very safe in Peterborough, and proposed a no-tolerance philosophy towards illicit drug use in public spaces to help address this issue. With me today, I have Chief Betts to discuss some of the important things that have been going on with the Peterborough Police Service over the last month. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Sorry, go again.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for having me.
So I want to start with the budget today. So why do you think the police services budget in particular needs more funding, instead of advocating for maybe funding going towards other social services that address the root issues of the problems policing is looking to address?
Well, I think you'll find that we as a profession, and me as a police chief, I don't disagree that funding is required for some of those other social service agencies. The problem is they don't exist right now, and we can't abandon one until something else is in place. Nothing else is in place. People call the police for absolutely everything. And until there is something in place where the police don't need to go, I often say, who are you going to call? You call the police. Whether that be a skunk at the end of your driveway, a butterfly on your door, or just CAA hasn't shown up in the middle of the night when you called them and they haven't gotten there quick enough. We are the ones that answer the phone. And until there is something else in place to take over some of those things that don't require police response, we're it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so one of the sections during your budget presentation was on, I think it was titled Distribution of Work. Mm-hmm. It was something that you were very open about, that there are, obviously, police is here to respond to crime. But there are things, like you were just saying, that are not criminal, mm-hmm. that officers respond to. And some of those things were take up a lot of officers' time. The number one thing responded to was suspicious persons, I believe. Mm-hmm. And then the third and sixth were both related to traffic. What are some of these things that police officers are currently doing that could either be done better or cheaper by other people, or that they don't need to be doing at all?
Well, that's a great question, and probably the one that the police profession is the most vocal about is calls surrounding mental health. We know we've seen an increase in challenges related to that. We all have, and every chief of police agrees that the police service themselves, as police officers, we are not always the best responders to those types of calls. We will still be required to attend because there's an unpredictable component that goes along with those responses, but that's probably the best example where the police are not the appropriate response in many cases to somebody who's in an acute distress related to a mental illness. And we're wholly supportive of shifting that burden of responsibility. The problem is the Mental Health Act, as it exists, only allows for the police to apprehend somebody and take them to appropriate facility if they're presented as a danger to themselves or somebody else. And so, again, as I said a minute ago, who are you going to call? You're calling the police because there's simply nobody else. We would love to get out of that business. It takes up a tremendous amount of our time. However, until somebody is better equipped to deal with that, we're it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I was just going to maybe ask something that you just answered before I asked it, in that like policing is not the solution to these social issues. It's here to help them once they're there. But what sort of services then are you advocating for that are not police services to address these social issues?
Well, and you're exactly right. There are many issues that have over time have defaulted to the police to respond, right? Other than our other emergency providers who are also responding, fire and EMS particularly, the police are it. We are the 24-hour a day, 7-day a week, 365-day a year emergency service provider. Our officers are on the road patrolling. There just is nobody else, and nobody who's prepared to take up that gauntlet, if you will. But mental health is top of the list for that. I mean, that's an appropriate location for certain types of work. Bylaw offenses does not need to be done by the police service. The new Police Services Act will actually remove that as a requirement of adequate and effective policing. So there's an expectation that cities, municipalities will have the ability to manage their own bylaw offenses. It shouldn't necessarily involve the police. There are things that we are mandated to do by law that many will say, well, you shouldn't be doing that. We don't disagree. Unfortunately, there just is nobody else to do it. And quite often the law prescribes that the police are going to be involved. As I just spoke earlier, as mental health is probably the most sort of prominent among that list of things where we don't think we should be the ones. We do advocate and we support other agencies to step up, step into, and lean into that place. But we also do know that there's an element, as I said, of some unpredictability with somebody who's in a bit of an acute state of distress. And at times, we are the appropriate response from a health and safety perspective for those who would be doing that intervention.
Mm-hmm. And then I think just a little bit of a follow-up is are you or what are you doing to maybe, obviously it doesn't happen right now, it can't happen in a year, to actually reduce the need for policing those sorts of things and to focus on the what you would consider or the law would consider, however you want to take that, the core function of police services?
Yeah. So there's a number of things that I would like to do, as you've said. And, you know, one of the things that we've done now is we partner with mental health providers, right? So we have what's called, in the acronym is MCIT. And so that's the crisis intervention team that we have who are partnered with CMHA and a police officer. And they are responding to those types of calls. That works exceedingly well. We only have two such teams, and some of the funding for that is currently unstable and threatened, quite frankly. But we do see the value, and I believe the community that's involved also sees the value. I would like to shift some of that workload towards people who are better equipped from a training perspective to be able to manage those calls. And it doesn't have to start and finish on the street. There are some police services that have had the ability to push mental health providers right into their dispatch center. So instead of even dispatching it to the road, we're connecting people, or some police services are able to connect to people to mental health resources right at the moment they call 911. I'd love to see us get to a position in a place like that. It's not inexpensive, and that's part of the problem. We'd simply don't have the budget to be able to do that. We would like to shift to a much more proactive model of policing, but right now where we're stuck is with a lot of reactive, because people call us for everything and we're going to respond.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I do think that that brings us really nicely into your announcement from October 5th. Mm-hmm. on the no tolerance philosophy and stance are both words that came across. I think I was calling it a policy in my own mind, but I don't think you ever used the word policy. It was a philosophy or stance.
A strategy.
A strategy. And yeah. So I think not that it wasn't brought up, and you've talked about it here, you did mention it in the presentation, but a lot of the reason for this, obviously, is for the public safety in Peterborough. But I think that there were concerns from organizations about the safety of the people who were actually using drugs. Mm-hmm. And it's something that I think might have just not been talked about as explicitly in this approach to drug use in public spaces. What are you doing to ensure the safety of these drug users in Peterborough?
So let's just be very clear. First off, the possession of these drugs, illicit substances, is a criminal offense. It has always been a criminal offense. That has not changed. It is what it is. You know, our role is around law enforcement, crime prevention. In terms of health, that falls to the umbrella of public health and some of those social service agencies. We certainly coordinate and sit at the table with those agencies, and we support what they're doing. I did speak with, in fact, my very first conversation leading up to this was with public health. And I advised them what we were going to do and when we were going to do it and invited any questions. My very last conversation prior to this was with one of our social service providers who provides some safety in this regard, with the same offer. And in fact, what I would see what I'm doing here and what we've launched is recognizing there are challenges around ability to do treatment and other usage. Is they can leverage this approach, this strategy, to help support a drive for additional capacity within their own areas. I have never suggested by any stretch that people should be criminalized for this type of activity. Irrespective of the fact that it's still criminal to possess this, we're not out arresting people that we're finding. We're simply saying you can't do it here. If it's an injectable, then they should be going to a place where injectable use is been allowed. But let's make that clear. That's the CTS.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that's where we direct them, and we try and connect them to resources and services where they might also seek help, because this shouldn't just be about prolonging your use, but it should be about how do we get you to a pathway to be better. But that falls outside the police responsibility. We just need to get them and point them in that direction, and then hopefully somebody will pick up the baton whose responsibility that is.
Mm-hmm. So I did want to, I wanted to bring attention. I mentioned that people from harm reduction organizations mm-hmm. might be concerned about the safety of mm-hmm. of people using drugs in this community. I did, at my last live interview, was with somebody who works in harm reduction, works at PARN. It's Star mm-hmm. Fiorato. And something that Star said in our interview is that they're worried about the safety specifically in that this strategy will not reduce the use of drugs, just push it into private spaces. Mm-hmm. And that then that will then make it more difficult for these people to be found by these organizations. Mm-hmm. And then it might also lead to more harm from drug poisonings. And what are you guys doing to prevent that outcome of this strategy yeah. specifically?
So I guess I'd ask, what are some of those agencies doing to help prevent that? My job's law enforcement. I suppose in the ultimate approach to it reducing the likelihood of drug poisoning, I would arrest and take everybody's drugs, because that is ultimately what my authority is. We're not advocating for that. So I do recognize that there is a challenge here. I do recognize there is a need for more. That is the responsibility of those agencies. And if they need to advocate for more, we'll support their advocacy for that. But it isn't the police responsibility to be able to provide that. My responsibility is very clearly defined. Certainly support the work that these other folks are doing, but I have to look after an entire community, not just a very small segment of that community. I certainly don't wish them any harm. I absolutely recognize that the addiction is an affliction that they did not ask for. However, it's something that they're now bearing, and there are agencies out there whose whole mandate is about helping targeting folks of that nature. I would suspect that this is going to drive them into, and I would hope, into a renewed vigor around how do we get help? How do we get them treatment? How do we get rehabilitation? And we'll certainly be a supportive voice around the table for that, because I do believe that's ultimately the safety of that community group, but it also helps us to ensure that the entire community is safe.
Mm-hmm. And thank you. I think I've got one or two things about the budget before we end today.
Yeah.
To go back to something that I think I was curious about when I was watching your presentation is that, so you've worked at larger police services across Ontario, and you mentioned that the thing that stuck out to me in Peterborough is when you were going through what officers are doing in any given day shift,
mm-hmm.
That there's somebody up in Lakefield, somebody down in Cavan, and somebody at the front desk, and then that leaves eight officers for the population of the city of Peterborough.
Correct.
But how does that compare to other police services with officers per person?
Mm-hmm.
Are we far below? Is that about average? And what is the coverage of these uniformed officers in any given day shift?
Yeah, so it's a challenge, right? Because it's going to fluctuate depending on where you are and the demands for service. And it's not a simple straight line average of what we call cop to pop, if you will. And that's a reason I don't particularly like that metric, is because each community is unique and different, and their demands are different. I've worked in agencies, as you say, with much, much larger organizations where the cop to pop ratio, if you will, is a higher police population to police officer ratio. Right? But I'm also looking at those communities and saying the crime severity in those locations is one third of what it is here in the city of Peterborough. So when I need resources, it's because I want to make a community safe. Right? Mm-hmm. If I had a crime severity or a crime rate that was significantly lower than it is right now, I would look at that as an indicator of success and community safety. Quite frankly, we're not in that position right now. And that is a key metric for community safety, is what is our crime rate? Our mm-hmm. crime rate is high. We are above the average of where we should be compared to others. So to say that we have only eight in the city of Peterborough, I would ask people, are you happy with that? Because let me tell you, when we respond to a domestic dispute, that takes two officers and it takes a supervisor to attend that location. So your eight is now down to five. Right. When then we have another call on the go, and you can name whatever call it is, that's likely a two officer call. For example, a suspicious person, as you pointed out, one of our top calls. Right. So there's another two officers. We're now down to three. And all we need is one more call for service at that time. And it could be a motor vehicle collision, as we know we had here in the city this morning, which may take all three of those officers off the street. Who's policing and who's providing community safety throughout the rest of the street? Are you satisfied with that? I'm not. I would like to be in a position to provide more officers in more locations, and you'll hear me say it at the right time, in the right place, and I need them to have the right information so they can do the right thing.
Well, and that's a perfect introduction to my last question, I guess, which is a gross oversimplification of the things that we've been talking about. But say you got your perfect proposed budget increase. Mm-hmm. What is going to happen then to the crime rate and the increasing crime rate, as you're saying, in Peterborough, if you got all of the things that were requested in this budget increase?
Well, it would allow us to be a little more proactive to help prevent crime, right? Crime being one of the five core responsibilities of policing is crime prevention. And with more resources, we can do more things and to help drive down. One of the misnomers here that people have when they hear about budgets and policing is they think, oh, it means more cops on the street. We can't do what we do on the street without supports behind who can process the paperwork, who is working on that, who's looking after the evidence, who's paying the bills. It's an entire infrastructure and an entire system. And more police officers on the street generates more work behind the scenes for somebody else. So it's a whole system. And so when we look for more, it's back end, the stuff you don't get to see at the front end, but it supports the front end so they can do the job they need to do.
Well, yeah. Thank you so much. Yeah. I've been speaking with Peterborough Chief of Police, Stuart Betts, today, and we've been going over a proposed increase in budget that was presented at a town hall meeting on September 18th, as well as a new approach that Chief Betts announced on October 5th about a zero-tolerance stance to open-air illicit drug use in public spaces in Peterborough. This has been Eddie Sweeney reporting for the Local Journalism Initiative and for CFFF FM 92.7 Trent Radio here in Peterborough, Ngujima-Ngong.